All right, guys, welcome back. I am joined by Zan. He goes by, let's see if I get this right, Zanu23_sportscards on Instagram.
Nailed it. There, I guess there's not too many alternate pronunciations there, so but you did well.
All right, nice. So you're just on Instagram as far as hobby stuff. You don't have a YouTube channel or anything like that?
I used to, actually. Funny enough, I got back in 2020, like late 2020. And did a YouTube channel for a bit that was opening new football product. But I don't know if you did that at any point, but it's expensive and it's kind of like a dead end. So I abandoned that. And no, I don't have anything else. I've heard, though, that Facebook, I'm missing out because there's a lot of guys on Facebook that aren't on Instagram that have a lot of good stuff. Are you on there?
Not really. No, pretty much Instagram. I used to do a little Twitter, but, yeah, I'm pretty much Instagram and YouTube now. That's kind of all I can handle
for the most. Yeah, I know. Too many platforms. It just gets overwhelming, you know?
Yep. But I have come around on Instagram, and that's, you know, how we connected. Actually, believe it or not, I can't remember if I already followed you on Instagram when you were on, Carlson Cards podcast, the episode you did with him.
Right.
I watched that one on YouTube, loved that episode. And that's when I discovered that we have something in common. A lot of things in common, but one of the big things is that we collect Pedro Martinez.
Yeah, that's right. That's a big thing in common. I started didn't start collecting him until last year, maybe about a year ago. I got the 98 Essential Credentials Future on auction. It was sort of an impulse buy at the time, because I wanted to get into baseball, and that kind of got me hooked. Because I am a big Red Sox fan, and I was looking for an avenue kind of to get into the late 90s Red Sox. And Ortiz and Manny, you know, Manny was in Indians gear and Ortiz in Twins gear, so it wasn't really conducive to collecting those guys. And so the Pedro collecting kind of came naturally. What about you? Did you get into it? How long have you been collecting him?
Not that long compared to what I've been collecting other things. Yeah, probably in the last, pretty heavy in the last 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. Yeah.
Hey, I've had to, because I collect other things, like condense my list down to maybe like 20 to 20 Pedro cards. How about you? Are you kind of buy it all, or is there a specific set number you look for?
Yeah, it's funny. When I started this out, I made a list, like a Google sheet of, I've kind of changed it around a little bit, but I said, I'm going to list like 25 awesome Pedro cards that I want to chase after. So I've kind of used that as a guide. I veered off a little bit, but yeah, with Pedro, there's so many different cards that I try to hone in on, you know, maybe the highest end or the best Pedro cards, some that will be a chase. You know, some of them maybe aren't the most expensive, but ones that like Pacific Prism Reds, you know, they're not the most expensive cards, but they're hard to find. So like I was just kind of looking for a chase with Pedro, which has been really fun.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's, you know, the good thing about that era is versus now, where there's, you know, 50 parallels per product, you know, you had at most a few, you know, and in a lot of products, just one or two. And so it has limited his 50 and under, cards numbered 50 and under to actually a fairly manageable amount, if you're not counting the one of ones. So it is an attainable pursuit, I've found. And I know you and I are probably pretty close to reaching or getting most of the biggest cards we've wanted. And so I could see the end light at the end of the tunnel here, but I kind of don't want it to come upon me too soon. You know,
I know what you mean. I highly recommend, if you guys don't follow Zan on Instagram, great account to follow, because it's not only Pedro cards. You go through the list of you know, things that you've posted, and Brett Favre, you know, so all like 90s legends, and, you know, even ones like Drew Bledsoe, which is near and dear to my heart. So I love looking at your page, and I kind of gone back to your oldest post just to see what you have on there.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, this was sort of I guess it was 2022, mid 2022, when I was getting burnt out on the modern, and wanted to sort of looked back at the guys I used to collect, you know, when I was a kid in the 90s, and found out about a lot of these sets that I didn't really know anything about back then, because I was just collecting base sets. And certainly, you know, now the prices are not exactly what they were back then. But, you know, that exclusivity and just the 90s design scheme and the competition amongst brands, I think led to a lot more ingenuity than we see now, where you've got this, you know, monopolistic structure that just has basically one aesthetic. So yeah, late 90s is now near and dear to my heart. It's kind of the only thing I collect.
How do you feel with the 90s? How do you feel about, because a lot of the parallels and inserts, they are in all, let's say, three sports, football, basketball, baseball. And those tend to go for a little higher price because of the push up from other sports. But I like a lot of those. Just I actually like the multi-sport appeal. I'm not sure why, but maybe it makes me feel more comfortable from a money investment standpoint that I'll be able to get my money back someday if I ever sell these cards at the very least. But then there's some that are like only in baseball. Does it matter to you if it has a multi-sport consistency in a different parallel or whatever?
No, not necessarily. I mean, like you said, I do like that. And, you know, even though we are both collectors, certainly if we're spending, you know, mid to high four figures on a card, you want it to be a reasonably safe thing. You don't want that to have the volatility of a modern card that can be, Mac Jones card or whatever it may be that's now $100. So with respect to your question, though, for instance, like the 1997 Rubies, which is the first iteration of the number Rubies in football and in basketball, there is no baseball. And that doesn't really matter to me. It's insofar as, you know, the importance of the set is concerned. I still seek those out in football. And so, you know, there are times where I feel like baseball of the three has the fewest big parallels. I mean, there's still plenty, but it doesn't have the red and green PMGs. It doesn't have the 97 Rubies. And those are obviously two huge sets that, you know, the rest of the sports that or the rest of the parallels that baseball has are pretty much there in basketball and football, with the exception of maybe the molten metal titanium fusion in football. But yeah, I mean, I think that matters because, you know, the rising tide lifts all ships with respect to basketball, how popular that is. And so I think that's kind of led the way in terms of popularizing some of these parallels for sure.
Like, because I'll look at a parallel that I'll see like a sale on Card Ladder, of like a, you know, a common basketball player, not even an all-star, and their PMG or essential credentials, I'll see it sells for like $20,000. And then I look and I say, nice, I was able to get a Pedro Martinez, who I consider to be like one of the greatest ever, if not the greatest pitcher ever, for X, you know, way less. So I feel good about that. When I see that happening, these other, especially basketball, it kind of opens your eyes, and I feel a little better about what we're able to get Pedro cards at in those same parallels.
No, for sure. Basketball, you know, has an international appeal that I don't know that baseball or football will ever have. I mean, certainly there's been expansion efforts in both sports around the globe, you know, with the World Baseball Classic and more Japanese players coming to America and vice versa. And so there is more appeal, but, you know, there's a huge Asian collector market in basketball. So more competition leads to higher prices, guys like Nat Turner collecting the set. I mean, basketball cards just are insanely competitive. So like you said, I mean, you got no name. Joe Smith, my friend just sent me the Joe Smith red PMG that went for like $20,000. I don't know if that's a legitimate sale, but that's insane, right? I don't think there's ever been a Pedro Martinez card sell for $20,000. You know, maybe you could see like some one of one, maybe a one of one platinum medallion would be worth like $20,000 or something. But that goes to show you that baseball and football are definitely lagging behind there.
There was I didn't expect this because like we said, a couple years ago, a year or two ago, when we started really heavily collecting Pedro, you could tell me if you agree, but it felt like there wasn't much. There wasn't a lot of these cards that we were chasing. You wouldn't see, you know, maybe you'd see one every few months or like certain ones, maybe once a year, something like that would pop up on eBay. It just, to me, it didn't feel like a lot of these big cards were appearing very often. Even some like, oh, it's numbered to 50, or it just didn't seem like there were a lot out there. And then things kind of changed here recently because there was a collection. You know, I don't know the person or the family. I've just been purchasing cards from the collection, but a gentleman passed away who looked like it was the greatest Pedro Martinez collection ever, because you know, it's making its rounds now around social media. People are buying. I think you said you bought at least a card from this collection, like I have, but that all it all kind of came for sale at once. Not most of it's not on eBay, but it's kind of making its way through social media. There's a dealer working with the family to sell these cards off. So it's been interesting because, I mean, we're talking about, you know, 24 karat gold cards, essential credentials. There's, I think he had four of each one. I mean, these are cards numbered to 24 that he had four of those 24. So what has that been like to see that availability of these cards that, at least me, I didn't expect to see all these come out at once being available.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, as a precursor to that, you know, in the 2023, like you said, a lot of these cards that you and I have gotten over the past few months didn't have, I mean, they may have had no prior sales or maybe a sale every couple of years. I think part of that was that you do see that you have seen a huge uptick in 90s cards generally. And so people who do find these cards and say, wait a second, this might be worth a lot of money. You know, maybe they come up for sale more often. But yeah, so I mean, I know a little bit about that. There's a guy on Instagram, I mean, mainly on eBay, sorry, goes by Chipper Cards, name's Matt. He's been a dealer for, you know, 20 years, basically. And I can't confirm this is true. This is what he told a friend, or so there's a little level of hearsay here, but apparently he knew the guy who passed away and had sold him in the past. But when he, I think, saw the obituary, he wrote a letter to the widow explaining who he was. And that sort of got them connected. And I don't think that he probably realized the sheer volume of, and, you know, quantity of cards that this guy had until he actually saw them. And there's thousands of them. And it's not just base fillers. There's tons and tons of one of ones, like you said, 324 karat gold cards, which I hadn't seen. I mean, I don't think there's a public sale of one of those. He had three or four of the Crusade Reds, which are numbered to 25. I'm pretty sure he had at least one version of every non one of one. And, so I think Matt bought a portion of that collection and has been selling it himself. But then there's, I don't know about you, but I bought some directly from the widow herself, or paid her, and those came directly to me. And so it's, you're right. It's, I feel fortunate that I think you and I got in a little bit earlier than a lot of people before where it is now. There's still tons of good stuff there, but it's been a lot of the big stuff is now gone. But yeah, it's an incredible thing that, it's almost overwhelming, because when you make the, you probably the same way, when you made your list of cards, you didn't expect to get a chunk at one, whether it be a financial preparedness or just sort of like, you can only emotionally handle like four or five, more than two big cards at a time, you know, it's hard to. So, yeah, it's been really fascinating to watch some of the other Pedro collectors and seeing what they've bought and seeing what, you know, Matt has sold and what he's willing to price things at. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I kind of in my mind had it out like, all right, here's my list, and just expectations, you know, maybe I have a shot at one of these things every 6 months or something mm-hmm. like that. Then all of a sudden, when they're all there, pretty much all the ones, then it's, wow, I can't buy them all right now. But so you try to pick out the ones that there'll be less of a chance that I'll have a shot at in the future. But yeah, it's just been, you know, it's been great being able to get all these cards in a short period of time, but also unexpected. And I guess I probably spent my Pedro budget for several years in the last few months, I would say.
How many have you total Pedro cards have you gotten from that collection?
I would think it's close to 20 now.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I just did another order. I got five more coming. So yeah, probably about 20 big ones.
Yep. Here's a question for you. So like, I try my best to kind of stick to the list I've set out. Have you been able to do that? Or once you've seen some of the other stuff he's had, you're like, wow, I didn't know that existed, or I can't believe that's available. Have you bought stuff that's not on your list because you just weren't expecting that to exist or to be available?
Absolutely. Yeah. I haven't shown it. It was off at PSA. So it's coming back, but that I never thought I'd really go after a one of one, but there was a one of one there from it was a Flair Mystique 1999 one of one of Pedro. Yep. And I was like, I don't know. I'd never just, I always thought like, oh, to 50 or 24. Those are rare enough for me. And then it's like, he showed me a picture of the one of one, and I'm thinking, that would be kind of cool to have at least one of those in my collection. So that I did buy that one. I never thought I'd go down the one of one lane, especially from the 90s. So that's I definitely veered off there for sure.
But like you said, if yeah, it might get you a little thin, but you want to get these eventually. And so if now might be, you know, without being hyperbolic, it might be one of the only chances you have to see these for a very long time. And so I think you gotta jump on stuff while you can.
We're going to do a little abbreviated version of 3 and 3 sure. For people who have listened to my podcast, watch my channel. We do, Zan's going to show us 3 of his favorite cards. Doesn't have to be Pedro. It might be, but you know, 3 from your collection. And then he's going to mention 3 that he wants. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you, do you have like a top tier? Like if I was to say, what's the 5 best non one of one, 5 best Pedro cards? What would you say on that if you had to rank?
That I own or just that are out there generally?
Well, first, just yeah, like that are out there. And then we can look at 3 that you own. And
I think probably number one is probably, I mean, to me personally, it's the 24 carat. I don't know what that would be if you put it up for sale. I can say that I know the 98 PMG is one or two, just because I know of a private sale where a PSA 8 sold for, I think, 12,000, which from what I understand is, I don't know of any other Pedro sales that are higher that aren't one of ones. There may be, but I don't know them. So I would say those two have to be in there for sure. You know, I'd put probably the 99 Essential Credentials out of 23 in there. I know that set takes a backseat to the 98 in some ways, but it's certainly the second best Essential Credentials set, and that's the lowest number Pedro from those first 2 years. I know there's a 15 from 2000, but I think it loses a little bit of allure after 99. But I do think you need number 4. I think you should put at least one of the 2 98 Essential Credentials in there. I'm partial to the future, even though it's number to 62 and the now is number to 39, mainly because of the color scheme. I think it just looks really, really good with the Red Sox. He's in the spring training gear. That the red plays off each other well versus sort of that lemon lime aesthetic. But if you like the exclusivity more, maybe the now is for you. And then number 5, I would probably put the 1999 PMG. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but the 99 PMG to me is, you know, it's his only PMG in a Red Sox outfit. You know, he has the 98, it says Red Sox, but he's in the Expos uni. But the shine on the 99 is great. That might be my favorite iteration of the PMG. So those would probably be my top 5. I'd be curious to hear yours.
I would agree with those. One that you didn't mention that I'm kind of back and forth on. I don't own this card, but it's the 1996 Select Certified Mirror Gold. Now that has more appeal in baseball because it's, you know, there's no Michael Jordan card of that as far as I know. So it's more of a baseball grail card, the Mirror Gold, and it's not numbered, but there's only 30 of them. So some people would have that in there. But to your point, at least from what I found, I would say the large majority of Pedro super collectors that I've come across are Red Sox fans. You know, they've been fans of Pedro, so they prefer him in a Red Sox uniform. So that being in the Expos. I don't know that many Expos fans. I like Expos Pedro cards, but that would be one thing it has going against it compared to the other ones, I would say.
I think you're right. I those are great cards. You know, the football has a hollow foil shine. I actually like the baseball more. It's more of a matte finish. But I think what does that in is the Expos for sure, but the fact that it's not numbered. You know, I know there's an announced print run of 30. There's been speculation that there might be a few backdoor copies there. I don't know that it's extensive. Most people, if I've gone back to look at this, I think most people theorize that at most it's between 30 and 35 probably. But you're right. That's definitely in my top 10, probably towards the back end. But again, as a Red Sox fan, it's not as high on my list, you know.
And that's one that, as far as I know, wasn't in the Roth collection. Maybe I missed it, but from what I heard, he didn't have that card, which maybe says about how hard those are to find. Maybe there's someone out there who's hoarding a bunch of them.
Well, there was that set that sold recently on Golden. It was the full set. And I know that I had the opportunity to get the Pedro, but I didn't think it was worth the price that they wanted for it. So I passed on it. But yeah, you don't see those very often.
Right. Well, only one I guess I would throw in too is we both own this card is the 99 rubies.
Yeah. Our rubies. I'm saving that because that's what
I'm Yeah. Sorry to ruin it. Okay. Well, that's a perfect lead in. We're going to do three and three. Three of your favorite cards in your collection and then three that you'd like to add.
Sounds good. So, yeah, there's the Pedro 99 rubies. Of course, this is the 98 design in football and then half of the 98 set in basketball. Is this design, but it's become my favorite iteration of the rubies, even over 97 football. And I just love the shot of him in that, in mid windup, basically, mid pitch. And so I found this at the National. Actually, it was a BGS 9. I ended up selling that and buying a PSA 6 just because I like PSA better. And so that would, I had to pick a Pedro card because we were doing Pedro. So that's one. Brett Favre as my other top player PC, probably. Here's a 99 PMG that PSA 8 I got last year. And we talked a little bit about Instagram and how important that is. I found this through, I talked about it on Carlson, but I found it through Card Ladder and then messaged the guy on Instagram. And that's how the deal came together. And I might not have had a chance to get it had it been on public auction. And then finally, another Favre 24 karat gold, similar situation with where actually this card was up on eBay briefly at the auction starting at 10 grand. But I messaged with the seller a bit and got him off of through Instagram and forth. And I just said, this would mean a lot to me to buy this. I've been looking for it for a while. Will you accept this offer? And somehow he did. So, that would probably be my three. What's that?
I'm a big color match guy. So that those 24Ks are awesome anyway, but when you're, oh man, the Favre color match on that too is fantastic.
I think personally that's his best card. But to answer the three that I would like to add, 98 PMG of Favre is up there. It's either that or the 97 rubies. They're kind of neck and neck for me. Just because that's, when I set out, the four main ones I wanted were the two I just showed you and then the 98 PMG and the 97 rubies. A Pedro Super Rave 98 for me, that's probably number two. As much as I like the 99 PMG and may even prefer it, it comes up relatively frequently. And so, you see maybe three or four a year. I've seen three or four in the past 8 months versus the Super Rave, which I know one guy who has one, and there was one in the Roth collection, but got snatched up before I could get it. And so it's numbered to 25. So that's kind of why I want that one more. And then the last one would probably be, I collect Jeff Bagwell. So a 1998 Central Credentials Now of his, tough to find, it's out of 17. And I haven't seen one of those before. I've heard about a couple going, exchanging hands through back channels, but I haven't seen one. So I'd be interested to hear your top three you want and three you own.
So for me, I'll just do with Pedro. So Pedro, definitely. Well, let me do the wants first. Mirror gold, I definitely want at some point if I ever could get it, my hands on it. I really like the essential credentials from, I know the biggest ones are 98, 99, like you said, but I really like some of those designs in the early 2000s. So there's one actually from 2004 that is numbered to 5, mm-hmm. And I just, something about that 2004 Essential Credentials set, I just think it's a really cool design. You don't see it out there as much as like the 98s and the 99s. So I would love to try to get my hands on that one. And third one.
It real quick, that one obviously is World Series winning year.
Yes.
So that makes a huge difference. Pedro's last year in Boston, right? So I think that's a really cool card would be cool to have.
I think there's a Rubies from 2000 too, that I have the 99, but there's a Rubies that I would love that one.
Yeah, the extreme number to 50.
Yeah. So I would say that would be another on the want list. And then for as far as Pedro cards favorites, yeah, I would say the 24K, the 98 PMG, and the Rubies. I think that would be my top three Pedros.
Do you feel like 99? Cool. Do you want to get the 99 credentials now back? I know you.
Yeah, I did. I had, I made a trade. I traded that number to 23 for the 98 PMG back a while back. I would probably like to get that one back because that was the missing piece in the collection of the guy I traded with. So it worked out. But yeah, now I have no 99 essential credentials.
It'll come. It'll feel
yeah. Yeah, I'll be able to get, even if I have to settle for the one in that, the 99 that's higher numbered, right. at least I'll hit the year itself. I'll have one from that year. Yeah. So sure. That'll be something. Sure. Now, I want to ask you too, you said primarily 90s, you know, you don't really veer too far out of that. What are your thoughts on vintage? Do you have any interest in ever dabbling in vintage at all?
I have not, for multiple reasons. One is that, I mean, I wasn't alive when these players played. And so for me, for 90s, there's a nostalgic connection to that. Number two is, I'm trying not to like defame vintage. You're a vintage collector, right?
Yeah, but I don't take any of it personally either way. I like all eras of the hobby. So whatever you want to say, go for it, man.
I understand the appeal of it. For me though, there's nothing particularly rare that I would want. I understand that there are vintage cards can be rare by grade, but they're not rare by production, right? Obviously certain, you know, like look at the 52 mantle, right? There's what, three nines or something like that, right? So it's rare by grade, a nine's rare by grade, but you know, it has, because of that, you have a lot of what I consider to be somewhat arbitrary factors. And I know that there are people with really skilled eyes, maybe like yourself, that can, you know, that focus on centering and presentation. And there's a lot of intricacies with vintage. And I understand how passionate people are about it. But for me, the 90s and the era of ingenuity of arena design in particular, just offers me something that I don't know that I would be able to get from vintage directly.
Yeah, and I'm someone that I feel like it has to happen organically. The sales pitch of why you should collect vintage or why someone should collect cards at all that doesn't collect, I don't think any of that works. I think it either happens or it doesn't. Yeah, if you're happy in the lane you're in, that's cool. I think with vintage, you're right. A lot of it isn't rare. And people that collect vintage, I think, would tell you that know it well. But I have a good buddy in the hobby here, Dylan. He goes by Double D Vintage Baseball Cards. And one of the things that he does is he collects cards that aren't rare from the 50s and the 60s. But he looks for them that are like really nicely centered, or he would even say perfectly centered. And in a way, he's kind of created his own chase and his own rarity. As far as the cards themselves, there might be thousands of a certain 1955 baseball card out there, but maybe there's only like 1% of those that are nicely centered. And so he chases after that. So I think, you know, there's ways to create a chase and to create your own rarity in the cards. So it's just kind of, you got to have that connection. I think, at least for me, if I don't have a connection to a player or something with it, I have a hard time really, especially if it's decent money that you have to pay. I'd rather just focus on something I have a connection to.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. I think you nailed it on the head. Part of it all is also like, right, card money is finite. So we have a specific budget that we can spend on cards. And if I were ever to get into, whether it's vintage or a modern, you know, whether I were to ever branch off into another, that's going to take money. And I would have to probably shut down a player PC. And, you know, I don't think I'm even close to wanting to do that. I've had to do it a couple times over the past year to finance bigger stuff. But I don't want to make that something I keep doing, you know?
Well, before we wrap up, I do with this 3 and 3, like if you're on YouTube, I usually ask, you know, recommend another or mention another YouTube channel, but could you do that with Instagram? Maybe give out an account or two on Instagram that you think is a good follow. Maybe could be someone else who collects Pedro or anything that you'd want to mention as far as another account.
Sure. I mean, he probably doesn't need it because he's got over like 4,000 followers. But Ephus Pitch, if you don't follow him, it's Ephus is E-E-P-H-U-S underscore Pitch. He collects, he actually just bought a couple of Pedros, but he collects mostly modern baseball cards, super short prints in the tops. But he always puts up really informative stories, polls. I mean, if you are interested in engaging, he'll show you his cards, but he also solicits feedback and creates dialogue that I think is really, really beneficial to collectors. So definitely check him out if you haven't.
Awesome. Now, do you go to the National? Are you going this year?
I do. Yeah, actually, last year was my first one, and I'll be back this year. How about you?
Last year is my first one. I am not sure on this year, probably not, but last year was a great experience being the first one.
Yeah, it should be a good time. I just got to manage my expectations. I found the Pedro last year, which made me happy. And so you're searching for needles in haystacks there, but it's still fun.
All right, Zan. Well, appreciate you coming on with me here. Hopefully we got a lot more we could talk about. So maybe you come on again in the future. We'll pick it up where we left off here.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it. And thanks again for the invite.